He started his sexual career, so to say, at the age of 17, at the time he became a painter. Now, that profession of the painter, this man had used as a convenience. He worked in many different institutions. He worked in the YMCAs. He worked in the homes of the tubercular. He worked in any kind of home where there were children. And he thought he could get the children. In all these places, he made his headquarters, the basement and the cellar. And he had a habit of wearing painter's overalls over his nude body, which gave him two advantages. First of all, he was nude in a moment. And secondly, he would be seen by his victims only in his painter's clothes. And if later they met him on the streets in his other clothes, they wouldn't recognize him.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive! I like you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
What's going on?
Vigi.
So we're going to do this shit again, huh? We're going to do this stupid fucking shit again?
I'm just going to rip the bandage off quick. That's what kind of what we're trying to do here.
As long as you don't fucking stick any fucking pins up my ass, okay? For fuck's sake, man.
Okay, yeah, there's more pins. There's more pins coming up. And Todd is not here because you get from the first one why he's not here.
He didn't want any more peanut butter sandwiches.
he said, fuck it,
he
I
ran
quit.
Out of barf bags.
Fucking him out.
He's down in the basement, man. He's playing with the video games.
Oh my God, how you doing, Zach, dude? What's going on?
I'm good, man. No complaints.
How are you, Lindy?
I'm good.
And Lindy, you jump in anytime you want to throw something in on this, because I'm already choking it back.
Oh, yeah, we better put this out there. Listener discretion is fucking advised.
Yeah.
We've done gross shit. This is probably some of the grossest, nastiest, sickest fucking shit, literally, we've ever talked about.
This is the king so far. I know there are others that are gonna mop the floor with fish, even, but I'll tell you what, between read the Ed Gein book and reading this book, like the Ed Gein book I couldn't put down, and this one I had to, because I was just like,
same.
What's wrong, Matt? You don't need a peanut butter sandwich?
Yeah, there were a few spots in this where I was like, oh, no, nope. Yep.
Mm-mm. Oh, the Lindenberg baby. That's interesting. I'll keep reading this against the Albert Fish's, especially his letters that he wrote. And I'm going to read one. Well, and then I'll summarize some of the others, just because I think this guy was a lying piece of shit at the end, where he was trying to be like, no, I'm batshit crazy. Yeah, no shit, but you're still going to ride the lightning, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Well, fuck out of here. I'm going to tell you both what I tell my kids. It's your own fucking fault. You did this to yourself. So
that's true.
Just fucking get over it.
I 100% did. So we left off with Francis McDonald being found dead. And kind of the mutilation that happened to him wasn't what Fish wanted, but nobody knew who it was at this time. So February 11th, 1927. 4-year-old Billy Gaffney turns up missing. He was playing in a hallway because his parents lived in this apartment in a complex. Everybody broke as fuck. Don't have any money. He's playing with his best friend, who was Billy Beaton, who was 3 years old. And Billy Beaton's older brother was up in their apartment watching their daughter or their younger sister, because she was a baby.
Billy must have been a really popular name at the time.
Yes,
certainly was.
I'm just trying not to think about what you're fucking getting ready to tell me.
Well, back in the day, you were like a Billy or a John or a Jim. It was pretty, you know, pretty.
You're forgetting Billy, John, Jim, and Jimmy Bob.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Bob. Okay.
And I'm a dumb white guy.
Levity. Uh-huh. So they were playing. Billy Beaton's older brother, Once his once her little sister falls asleep, he comes down there to see how they're doing, like to check up on
Billy was beating his older brother.
That would have been a better story, really.
Once again, levity. Okay, go on.
Yep. So he comes out and he's playing with the kids for a little while, and then he hears his he can hear his sister crying. I don't know if it was so bad, like he just left the door cracked so he could hear if she started crying, because nobody's gonna break in and steal anything because they ain't got fuck all to take. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he runs back up there, gets his sister out, like kind of getting her settled back down, maybe feed her or whatever. And some time passes and Billy Gaffney's gone. I'm like, they can't find him. So they're out. Beaton's dad comes out looking for his son because they can't find him either. But when they find him, he's over by a ladder that leads up to the rooftop of this apartment that they were on. And he asks him, he's like, what have you been doing? He's like, we were up on the roof. And he was like, why? Why? He's like, well, me and Billy Gaffney were up on the roof. Well, he said, well, where's Billy then? He said, the boogeyman took him.
Oh.
And that is the most accurate description that was ever given, and they ignored the shit out of it.
I'm a goddamn boogeyman. That's what I am. I'm a fucking boogeyman.
Okay, so his body is, Gaffney's body's never found. So the only thing we got about that is what Fish tells after he's arrested. So what he says he did to him.
Nothing but good things.
He took him to
the Rainbow Bridge, right? Across the Rainbow Bridge.
If by Rainbow Bridge you mean like old junk pile, trash heap place.
That sounds like Grouchland.
Stripped him naked, bound him by his hands and ankle, by his wrists and ankles.
Okay, moving along. Moving along.
He left him. He just left him overnight. He took a train, went home. Went to sleep, came back the next day after he made a cat of nine tails out of a belt that he had. And he said he came back and whipped his bare ass until blood was running down his legs. He said, and this is what he said, so I don't know if this is exactly what he did to him, and I didn't write it down. My hand wouldn't allow me. I'm just going by what I read because it's in there pretty good. So he beat him till he bled. Said he didn't rape him, but I bet he did.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. And he gouged his eyes out. He cut off his nose and his ears. Cut his face into like a why so serious? And then slit his throat. Then like, he took pieces Dahlia of him. Style. Then he took pieces of the body to take home to eat. Mostly his butt, his monkey, and his peanuts that he took home. Cut him all into pieces, put him in, wrapped him up, and threw him into these places with water, he said, that would it would sink down so that he would never be found. Yes.
Yes, it could be. I believe so. I'm saving that one for another episode, but I could, fuck, this guy is the fucking devil.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. So, could you imagine?
No, I don't want to either, but I'm getting a nice little fucking visual in my head. Thank you very much.
See, every time while I'm reading this, I'm picturing like that being my son at 4 years old. And you know how sometimes we say we hold a red lightsaber, but we wouldn't grab it.
Right.
I'm fucking grabbing my red lightsaber and I'm shoving it right up. Nope. Not up his ass. Cause he would love that.
I chop his dick off first.
No, a ball bat, probably a ball bat to his face. Just like a lot. And then like, be like, get some medics in here to revive him. Let him revive for a few weeks, and then I'm going to do it again. Till you don't even know that I'm doing it anymore. Then I'll finally kill you.
You're talking to my guy all wrong, Matt. Yeah. You start with his hands, see, and you work your way up to his shoulders.
Start tearing out the fingernails. Oh, that's coming up. So he does find another woman, 64-year-old housemaid from Waterloo, Iowa, named Estelle Wilcox. She was married to Fish for 2 months. In 1930.
Two whole fucking months, huh?
Well, they lived together for a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 10 days. Like 10 days. And then they got married, and then it was just like instantly over because she was like, what the fuck did I do?
So yeah. I have to say this, and I don't know if you're getting to it or not, but I have to say this.
Okay.
With all of the females that he married, dated, blah, 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 what have you, Fish was very fond of writing letters. So he would make sure via letter that they were good with the things that he needed sexually before he would even meet them. And when they said yes, then he would go. So these women knew what they were getting into sex-wise.
So you're saying these ladies were solid dirty birds. So that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying it was a depression, and he said he had money, and they were thinking, yeah, okay, well, I'll do that for my kids so that they'll be supported. And but he would play games. Now, I know I brought this part up a little bit in the last one, but he would play games with her children, and she was cool with it. Where he would go back into the bedroom and change into these brown shorts that were super thin and would wear nothing else. And they played a game called Buck Buck, How Many Hands Up? Which would be, he would get on his hands and knees and they'd stand behind him and hold up fingers. And he would guess how many fingers they were holding up. Which he got wrong every time on purpose, because the more he missed it by, that's the more times they had to spank him with this paint stirring stick that he had, or a hairbrush.
What does any of this have to do with gay porn?
All of it. Gotta, a lot, everything.
I don't know. But even after the trial, when these kids were asked, sometimes they would say, he would say a number like 20. They're like, well, we don't have that many fingers, but that's more spankings.
Yeah.
And they said these games would go on for like an hour. Just like an hour of him being spanked by this woman's children. And she's like, oh, what a fun game.
What a fucking weirdo, man.
Next game was Sack of Potatoes Over.
I hope he's burning the kids in hell. I hope he's right there by the broken air conditioners.
Mm-hmm. We got to do something, man.
I'm sorry. I gotta fucking break it up. Yeah, this is way too fucking dark for me.
So Sack of Potatoes Over was, he would kind of flip them over his head, but what they were supposed to do was not slide down his back. They needed to put their fingernails into his back as they went down. And they said by the time they were done, like, his back was bright red or
scratched to hell
or bleeding.
Bleeding.
Yeah. Which is what he wanted. And the last game, which I think is the funnest, was Needles Under the Fingernails, which is just, that's the description. That's what she did. And the kids were all like, that hurts. I don't want to play. So he was just like, well, I'll just play by myself then. And he would drive the finger, because the kids tried it at first. And they stuck them in a little bit. And he was like, oh, that really hurts. He goes, yeah, but you got to go deeper. And they were like, how deep? He goes, all the way. So he would just run needles. Unless it's like pulling my teeth out with no anesthesia. I just think something with the fingernails is awful.
This guy should open the box. They have such sights to show him.
That would be a perfect person to give the box to. Because Pinhead would chill and be like,
by the way, Lindy,
just kill this motherfucker.
I know you don't watch movies, so that's a reference to Hellraiser. And
I have seen Hellraiser.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw that in there.
I don't know if you knew this, but that's where they got the idea for Pinhead, was Albert Fish.
Really?
I think that would be
I can't back that up. I can't back that up with facts.
Yeah, no, Matt. It was a good try, though. A really good try.
I think that they would have had to have made the movie Pin Sack, not Pinhead.
Now we know what's got to do with gay porn.
2 points to Lindy on that fucking shit right there.
His face was covered up with leather, but his balls were hanging out in the pins.
29, to be exact.
29 pins. Some of them have dissolved over time. That's foreshadowing. So yeah, the letters that he would send out. Now I'm gonna rough this shit in, because it was all about his son Bobby, who had fallen down some stairs at a young age, and he would send these letters out to women just to see how far he could go, about how they needed to bathe him and spank him, because the doctor said that Bobby needed to be spanked, because if he was, I mean, he's a grown man, but he was a child in his head.
Yeah.
Which, if we remember back to the first episode, was like, kind of like Albert's dream of having like a grown man to fuck that was a child acting and he could do whatever he wanted. So the letters that he would send would just keep asking about spankings, and they would get worse, and they would get worse, and they would get worse. And Lindy, if you want to go for a second while I find this here letter.
Right now I'm just picturing like
worse. And worse.
As you read this, I'm gonna picture like some like country ballad like from Bad Paisley, like if I could write a letter to me, only it'd be. I tell you to spank my ass until my monkey fucking bleeds. Until
my monkey bleeds.
Shit like that. Yeah.
God damn it, I can't.
Levity, folks, levity.
We're trying to do something.
And it specifically had to be with a cat o' nine tails that he would send along.
There you go. It was almost every time. He needs to be beat. He needs to be spanked. You need to whip his monkey out because to help him pee, and then whenever he takes a bath. But cat and nine tails is brought up constantly. Paddle, cat and nine tails. It was like almost everything had to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single letter. And then it would get to the point to where he would say, well, you know, I'm this Hollywood executive and I've got all this money and so I can pay you. Mm-hmm. And it's the depression. So these women were probably like throwing up in their mouths like I was. And then
chewing it back.
Also being like, I gotta do is spank his ass. I can get some money.
Well, and shit his mouth. Fuck, I can do that. Yeah.
The one woman later. The woman on the letter that you're referring to, she actually. So he sent the letters, and then he said, "You know what? I actually have an assistant that is
an elderly man.
Yeah, an elderly man. I'm going to send him along so that he can test this out for me. It was fish, obviously.
Yeah, she knew it."
Yeah. She didn't do anything, like nothing ended up happening that day. But she continued to correspond with this man, meanwhile giving all of these letters to the press. And she finally, like, she tricked him into believing that they were going to be together, that she was going to leave her husband.
Yeah.
All of this kind of stuff. So when he showed up, but when he was supposed to show up, he didn't.
But he left. He left a return address on the envelope because he wanted her to
respond. Yeah, okay.
And then he got pinched.
That's not what he got pinched from.
Oh, I thought that's what he was from the letters. Yeah, I thought.
Foot fish fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
Yes. No, that's not how he got caught.
No, that's not how he got caught for the killings, but he did go he did get in trouble for that too because of sending the crude letters. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, May 25th, 1928, Ed Budd places an ad. Okay. 406 West 5th Street.
I'm
going to mute
my mic. I'm going to probably, like, just, I got to smoke and drink for a while. This is fucking gross.
He places an ad in the New York World because he's looking for a job. And if anybody knows anything about Albert Fish, he constantly perused the newspapers, sending nasty letters to people, finding this and finding that, and he's thinking, oh, I got a boner just by that guy's name. So, yeah, I'm going to offer him a job because he says his name is Frank Howard, and he's a farm owner from Long Island, and he needs workers because he's gotten elderly. His wife's left him, and he can't do what needs to be done. So he sets up a date to come meet. He shows up at the Budd residence and meets Mrs. Budd, who turns out to be horrible at identifying people later. Delia, I think. I've never heard it said. I just read it, and I think that's how it's
Dahlia.
Said.
Dahlia?
Okay. Dahlia. She sees him and thinks, oh, here's this well-dressed man. So she invites him in. Well, once he gets in, she starts getting another guy a little bit better and seeing him. She's like, not as well-dressed as she thought. Like, his clothes were a bit shabbier than she thought they were. She said his teeth were moldy and kind of protruded like a rat.
Yes.
So what you're saying was he was a real looker, wasn't he, huh?
Mm-hmm. Real looker. Yeah. But anyway, he says why he's there is to take Ed for a summer job where he's going to pay him $15 a week. And that's the fucking bomb right there. 15 bucks a week then in the Depression to work on a farm. So yeah. She sends one of their younger daughters out to go get him because he's out with his friend Willie. So both the boys come back, and when
you said Albert, Willie. Ha ha.
And when Albert sees Willie,
levity,
he loves Willie. No, he sees the boys who he thought were boys, And they were more like men because they were big. They were built. Yes. They were, it was like, shit. But he was awesome. So Ed says he'll take the job if Willie can come aboard. And Albert's like, okay, I'll take you both. Like, I'm going to kill both of you.
Fine, that's just fine. I'll just, you know, I'm going to eat your ass and then I'll cut your balls off and I'll put them in some soup or something, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
More of a roast.
I'm just fucking around and you're going to tell me this shit happened.
Yeah. Because Albert was only 5'5" and weighed 130 pounds. And these were.
Once again, here we go. We got another fucking short guy that thinks he's God.
Uh-huh.
Ladies, stay away from short men.
Who think they're God?
Who think they're God?
So he says he will be back to collect the boys. Now, he was wearing like this like pinky ring or something that looked like maybe he had money. So the mom was kind of like, oh, man, this is a great opportunity for our son. And Willie going to go out. They're going to make a lot of money. They're going to help us out. They're going to be doing well. It's like getting a foot in the door to get things going. Right. So Sunday, June 3rd, Frank shows up. And he brings potted cheese and strawberries from his farm.
These are fresh strawberries. I tried picking them myself. I mean, I only had them up my ass about, 3 seconds each. But, they probably just added to the flavor.
They were 100% not from his farm because he doesn't have a fucking farm. He bought them from vendors. Even had his implements of hell with him. But not when he showed up because he took them. They were wrapped up. He stopped by a newsstand and asked the newsie if he could watch this package for him because he's an elderly man. He didn't want to carry it and he'll stop back by for it. And it's New York. So they're just like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, leave it. And nobody's going to look at anything. They're like, I ain't touching that shit. So fucking come back and get it.
You smell like shit, dude. I'm not touching your shit. I got it.
I can only imagine it's like a blood-stained rat thing. They're around.
Moving along, man. Moving along.
Okay, so, yep. So he goes inside and he meets Albert Bud, which is the father. And would you say it was Delia?
Oh, Delia.
Dahlia or Delia?
Dahlia. I had, hey there, Delilah. I was like, no, that's not. God, that song sucks, but it's in my head. But anyway, Frank asked Albert Bud if they still had the letter that he had mailed his son. And he said, or did he throw it away? Oh, no, it's right over there. So Albert thought this was weird at first. See, I'm saying Albert because it's Albert Bud. So I'm going to just refer to Albert Fish as Frank right here because that's what he said his name was.
I want you to say Bud.
Okay, so Mr. Bud thought it was weird that Albert went over and took the letter, folded it up, and put it in his coat pocket. Does that seem like something that... Did they keep the letter? That doesn't seem suspicious?
Oh, right.
Right.
It's a little strange, yeah.
Yeah. So... fuck. Okay, they're getting ready. So he brings them in the pot cheese and the strawberries. And so they're going to have a meal together, right? Well, it turns out that he sends Ed and Willie to the movies, right? Like he gives them some money. Well, he meets Ed's younger sister and just is like instantly, it's like, fuck Ed. Ed and Willie can go to the movies because... So she comes over and so, sees
like,
him.
When you said that and you looked at me, it's like I see him having this like, ooh, dream weaver thing pop up in his head. It's
like Wayne's World?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Oh, that could be. It's the worst case of that I've ever. I could see it when she was on stage playing bass, but I can't see it for this young girl. But I bet it was about the same feeling.
Well, and he says later that he thought that Grace was a boy because she had a short bob.
Yeah, but she's wearing her Sunday dress.
Yeah.
This dude's full of shit. That's why I didn't
know. Boys can wear dresses. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean,
there was in 1920.
Yeah, they would have an issue with it. But he asks her, she comes and sits on his lap. He pulls some change out of his pocket and asks her how good she is at counting, sets it down. She counts it out and she counts it out right. So he gives her some money to go with her sister to go get ice cream or candy, whatever it was they went to go get. So he has meal with the mother and father. And then when the girls come back and he comes up with an idea, Albert. He says, well, how about, I mean, I'm going to go to my my niece's birthday party, and she's about the same age. Maybe your daughter could come with me, and she'll have fun, a bunch of balloons, a bunch of games. It's going to be a good time. And then I can bring her back when I'm coming back to pick up Ed. Now, if everybody out there listening to this isn't screaming, what the fuck were you thinking as a parent? They were like, yeah, okay. Now that's grade A fucking Hall of Fame bad parenting right there.
Yeah.
Like, just met this motherfucker. Don't know anything about him. I just met you,
but here's my daughter.
Yeah, go ahead. You took the letter. Kind of weird. Okay.
Take her somewhere, and then you can slaughter her.
Take her to an address that doesn't even exist.
Well, that's the address he gave him, was someplace that didn't exist. Where he did take her was Wisteria Cottage. Because that's where he ends up taking her. And trigger warning?
I really don't want to fucking hear this. That's why I'm doing that. I'm sorry.
I really don't want to say it. Okay, so anyway, she's gone. But then she doesn't end up coming back by the time the police are involved. Dahlia, Bud, like, there's all these people that are brought in on questioning. Because at this time, it's like, everybody's the gray man. Everybody's freaked out. She misidentifies, like, four different people. There's a Charles Pope that was brought in because his wife said, I know he's the killer. That son of a bitch did it. But she just ended up being some jaded bitch who wanted her fucking husband to be in prison.
So that's awesome. I like that.
Get that motherfucker out of here. He's worthless.
I only put that in there to break the shit up a little bit. It's like, because it's like 6 years go by and it gets to the point where there's some times that they still have hope that their daughter's alive. And then there's other times they're, I might think at that time, like some people were sending pictures in saying, oh, this is her. We've got a picture of her taken here. Well, some other lady came and said, nope, that's not her. That was me.
The absolute worst feeling in the world to not know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'd almost wish that I just hope she's not alive anymore because I don't know what she's going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when Albert sees the letter, he sees it in the, you know, in the paper that maybe that she's alive and that was her. Well, he gets an idea and he's got to send a letter to the Bud family. So if I can get through this, I will read this letter in its entirety.
Go ahead, you stupid son of a bitch. I don't want to fucking listen to this goddamn shit.
My dear Miss Bud, in 1849, a friend of mine shipped as a deckhand on the steamer Tacoma, Captain John Davis. They sailed from San Francisco to Hong Kong, China. On arriving there, he and two others went ashore and got drunk. When they returned, the boat was gone, and at that time there was a famine in China. Meat of any kind was $1 to $3 a pound. So great was their suffering among the very poor that all the children under 12 were sold to butchers to be cut up and sold for food in order to keep others from starving. I don't know how true that is, but that sounds fucking awful. A boy or girl under 14 was not safe in the street. You could go to any park and ask for steak chops or stew meat. Part of the naked body of the boy or girl that he brought out was just what you wanted to cut from. A boy or girl's behind, which is the sweetest part of the body, and sold as veal cutlet, brought the highest price. John said that it was so long he acquired the taste for human flesh on his return to New York, he stole two boys, 1 7 and 1 11, took them to the home, stripped them naked, and tied them in a closet, which is where bodies go, as we've learned in other things, then burnt everything they had on several times. Every day and night, he spanked them, tortured them, and made their meat good and tender. So he's making Wagyu children. First, he killed the 11-year-old boy because he had the fattest ass and, of course, the most meat on it. Every part of his body was cooked and eaten except head, bones, and guts. He was roasted in the oven, all of his ass, boiled, fried, stewed. The little boy was next. Went the same way. At that time, I was living at 409 East 100th Street, right near Rightside. He told me so often how good human flesh was, I made up my mind to taste it. On Sunday, June 3rd, 1928, I called you at 406 West 15th Street, brought you some pot cheese strawberries. We had lunch. Grace sat on my lap and kissed me. I made up my mind to eat her. On the pretense of taking her to a party, you said yes, that she could go. I took her to...
The power of Christ and angel!
I took her to...
What does have to do with anything?
I'm sorry. I know.
I took her to an empty house in Westchester I had already picked out. When we got there, I told her to remain outside. She picked some wildflowers. I went upstairs and stripped off all my clothes. I knew if I did not, I would get her blood on them. When I was ready, I went to the window and called her. Then I hid in the closet until she was in the room. When she saw me all naked, she began to cry and tried to run downstairs. I grabbed her. She saw that she could. She cried that she would tell her mama. First, I stripped her naked. How did she kick, bite, and scratch? I choked her to death and cut her in all small pieces so I could take my meat to my rooms, cook and eat. How sweet and tender her little ass and was roasted in the oven. It took me 9 days to eat her entire body. I did not fuck her, though. I could have. I wish she died a virgin.
I fucking hate you right now.
I didn't do it. And plus, that's not...
I didn't need to hear that shit.
That part came later. That part came later. The initial thing that he said was he took her there, told her to pick wildflowers. He took her coat and hat, walked around the side of the house, and hid them underneath a rock. Then he found a 5-gallon paint can that was outside, took it upstairs with him. He got naked. Oh, I forgot a part. On the trolley ride over.
You can leave it out. It's fine.
No. On the trolley ride over, she was sitting next to him, and he had his implements of hell sitting beside her. They get up to exit the trolley, right? And she said, oh, you forgot your package. She ran back to go get it and then brought it and gave it to him. So they get to this house, Wisteria Cottage. He goes upstairs, does what he said. He laid out his implements. He got naked. He called her up. When she got to the top, he says he hid in the closet in that one. But in the other one, he said he come out of the door, meet her at the top level. And she took off running, said she was going to tell mom. And he caught her, brought her back in, said he started strangling her. And then put his knee in her chest and, like, killed her quick is kind of what he was saying. And he said he didn't rape her, but he said he was hard. So I'm assuming he just fucking came, like, I don't know how many times. But he held her head over, like, her neck was, like, propped on the 5-gallon paint bucket while he sawed her head off, captioned as much blood as he can. Then he said he poured it out of the window. But then on another one, he said he drank as much as he could, but he started to get choked. So then he cut her into pieces. He took her head down to the outhouse where he was going to just throw it in there. But then he felt bad about that. For some reason, this monster felt bad about that. So he wrapped it in newspaper. He stuck her clothes, like, apparently down inside the outhouse. There was like a shelf of like concrete where he stuffed her clothes in. And then he went back. Shoes. Or was her shoes? Was it just her shoes that he... Okay.
Lindy, I'm watching you eat right now. And I'm thinking to myself, how the fuck can she eat? Matt, we got a fucking Dexter on our hands.
I have to put something sweet in my mouth. I have to have something sweet. Sweeten it up.
Sweeten the ride, Blacks.
Fuck me.
So he goes back upstairs, takes the rest of her body, and just like shoves it in a closet and closes the door. Even though this place is like decrepit, full of rat shit and cobwebs and fucking nasty as hell, right?
Home sweet home for Albert Fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he does come back. I think 4 to 6 days later, he comes back. He gets her body. Tosses parts out the window, takes it and hides it back behind a stone wall, and then kind of puts it together like how it would have been as in life, like gets her head out. And he said it was all, like all the body parts were stiff, of course, and like the blood was all matted in her hair. But he did lay her out as she would have been in life.
Are you fucking done yet?
No, but the letter is... The letter is how he gets caught, because there was a detective called William King who had been on this since the first boy that had come up. And shit. Francis McDonald. He'd been on this case for like 10 years now, wanting to catch this motherfucker, and he wouldn't stop.
Holy shit, Matt. And now a fucking word from our sponsor.
Albert Fish's Fish and Chips.
Mommy, this kind of tastes like shit.
Albert Fish's Fish and Chips.
Well, it's because it is shit.
If Gerber packages, it'd be called soften stool stew.
Get your ass down there to
fucking basement, boy. I'll show you where these fish and chips are supposed to go, and I'll show you where they came from.
Albert Fish's Fish and Chips.
Not the kind of chips you think of.
Do you think it was hard getting those chips out of the bottom of a Pringles can?
I don't know if it's hard or not, but I'm hard now.
I take it right out the tap. It's just like a Frosty. Show me the monkey, baby. Show me your monkey.
Your ass is a Chinese restaurant, and I sure love the poo-poo platter.
Albert Fish's Fish and Chips.
Damn it, bitch, what I tell you about eating asparagus fucking ruins the flavor. I said pineapple, bitch. Pineapples.
I've been a bad, bad boy.
Albert Fish's Fish and Chips.
Shitty fish and chip. It's not just a clever name.
And we're back.
Okay. So I did find that Miss Shaw letter that I was going to read, just going to break this up before we get back to the awfulness.
Please and thank you.
Dear honey heart of mine, you have captured me. I am your slave, and everything I have is yours. Prick, balls, ass, all the money you want. If you were here, my own sweet wife, you would not be afraid of me. Oh, girly of my heart, I would love you. Oh, and how? Hug, kiss, squeeze you, spank you, then kiss you just where I spanked you. Your nice, pretty, fat, sweet ass.
Hey, Matt, this is not that kind of podcast.
I know. You don't need toilet paper to wipe your pretty fat ass. I shall eat all of it and then lick your ass, sweet ass, clean with my tongue. And
where's the fucking censor button at?
And you wonder why all these women were just like, oh, what a gentleman for him doing that for me.
Remind me next time I see you, Matt, to kick you square in the nuts.
Yeah. Okay. So I had that part. Yeah. Okay. And then after. So I brought that part up about him, the five gallon paint can that he had. And he said he stopped drinking after three or four swallows. Then he had taken his double edged knife and sliced about 4 pounds of flesh from her breast, buttocks, and abdomen. He also took her ears and nose. He had wrapped her body parts in a piece of old newspaper and carried them back to his room, simply holding onto the package in his lap as he rode back to the train, putting him in such a state, acute ejaculation.
I'm going to have to put a food disclaimer at the fucking beginning of this episode. Be like, oh, by the way, don't eat when you listen to this.
So, yeah, he was basically saying that he was so horny coming back home with her body parts that he came in his pants.
That's fucking disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Fucking hate this guy.
Fish You're did right. fuck this... up with the letter that he sent because the envelope had markings on the back of it. NYPCBA. And there was a scribbled out address. So with a magnifying glass, they got the address, went to it, and found out that from that business, they had their own envelopes and stuff. And they found a guy that they thought might have stole it. Lee Sikowski. He said that he did take some envelopes and he left them at a room that he used to rent. It was room 7. It was 200 East 57th Street. And Frida Schneider was the owner of the place. Well, he no longer lived there, and neither did Fish anymore, but the description that they gave matched the guy that used to live there, and Fish's, Albert Jr.'s, checks were coming to that address, and there was one left to be sent. So once King knew about this, he's just like, dude, we're posting up here. This is where we're going to catch this motherfucker. Well, yeah. Like a few weeks go by, he still hasn't showed up. Then he gets a call from Frida saying he's here, pick up the check. And he's like, stall him. So King gets there. Fish is sitting in a chair, sipping tea. And whenever King walks into the room,
I'm just sitting here sipping my tea, waiting for somebody to take me down to the basement.
No, it's one of those things where Fish knows he's fucked. The fish is fucked. So what's he do? Instead of just handing himself over like an innocent person would and be like, no, go ahead and try me. I didn't do anything. He whips out a straight razor and comes at fucking King and directly knocks it out of his hands, drops that motherfucker and says, I got you now.
Goddamn right. Fucking time. About fucking time, Matt.
6 fucking years.
6 fucking years, huh?
Yeah.
12 years after the first victim.
After the first one, yeah.
Christ.
So... we've already
this is definitely the worst motherfucker we've fucking heard so far.
This is the part that pisses me off the most, is that after he's arrested, he corresponds with his children, because his boys knew weird shit was happening because he kind of sheltered his daughters from it, even though he told
the yeah, that's just normal for my dad to like fucking sit on top of the hill and naked
shouting, "I'm Christ," as he's naked, spank himself and jerk off in front of us.
I'm Christ. I'm just you know. These pipes are clean.
And I did tell Lindy last week that the part that pissed me off the most was, I mean, it all pisses me off, but after he's caught, he's talking to the cops about how, you know, I can give up this information, but could you kind of help my kids out? Like you gave a fuck about anybody else's kids, you fucking piece of shit?
Yeah, fuck this guy.
It was just burning my ass. I've been like, I would have been fucking Brad Pitt from Seven.
If we could put music to this, I'd put on Twisted Sisters. You're gonna burn in hell, no evil. Yes, just no evil. You're gonna burn in hell.
So, okay. Lindy, do you have anything to add?
Would you like to retort, Miss Lindy?
Because he did go into what he did to Billy. That's how we... what's that?
Not yet.
She has nothing to add yet.
Oh, you have nothing to add yet?
No.
Oh.
He wouldn't open up about Gaffney or McDonald.
Right. Not until later, but I was getting to the part where he's trying to do his insanity. So we don't know if that's exactly, because all we got's his word. That's why a lot of this shit, I was kind of like, fuck this guy. I'm not reading that. Yeah. He's probably having fun in hell knowing people know what he wrote. You know what I mean?
I listened to something about him several years ago. It was a podcast, obviously. And I thought at some point he was assessed, like they took him to a mental asylum at some point, correct?
No, yeah.
He went to...
A few.
Seven? I think that he was arrested and sent to an asylum 7 times.
And found to be sane, correct?
Sane.
Every time?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's when I don't like the Grace Budd thing. At first, he said he just choked her out real quick, cut her up, and that's what he did. And then later, he came back saying he chopped off this, that, and that. But then he said the same thing about Billy, that he chopped off the same parts, brought him home, made a stew with it, cooked his ass cheeks with pieces of bacon across them.
Just rub some bacon on it, Matt. Just rub some bacon on it.
Yeah. He had never tasted any stewed turkey that was near as good as that young boy's fat ass. But I think that was where he was kind of like, because when it came time to be thrown in the electric chair, he said that, you know, he's like, it would be a great thrill. But then he also said, yeah, the verdict wasn't wrong. I am crazy. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to die. I'm still trying to shock you motherfuckers. Like, I'm crazy, but I don't really want to be killed.
Since you're standing right here, do you want to shove a couple pins up my ass real quick?
For Grace Budd, they took him.
Yeah, they took him back, and he took him to where the body was.
He took them to everything. The only thing that they didn't recover, there was a knife that they didn't recover, and they never recovered her clothes.
Yeah, they couldn't find the clothes that he had put under the rock, probably deteriorated or whatever. But they found the saw was by her, and then they didn't find the cleaver, because that's what his implements of hell was a saw, a cleaver, and a double-edged knife. If I didn't say that, I think I might have been the first one, that's why I couldn't remember. But the cleaver, they did end up finding, because some guy, some guy had found it, and then he was like, well, I don't want some kid playing with it, and he threw it all over into a brush pile, and he told them where it was at. Well, they went and found it. Yep, it was still there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they found her shoes, which were preserved because of where they were sitting on the levee shelf. And then they found her pearls. The string had deteriorated, but all of the pearls were there.
And then they said they kept finding like different pieces of it here and there that had been there. And then they start looking in that house thinking, well, this is the house of 1,000 corpses. And they started finding some bones, but they ended up being animal bones. But every time they found a bone, the paper would blow up and be like, oh.
Yeah.
This is Fish's house of murder. And it was. Mm-hmm. But
are we done yet? Are we done? Can you just tell me how this fucking guy died and when he died, and we can just get this over with?
He did say that he loved the taste of the little boy's monkey, but he couldn't eat his nuts because they were too tough to chew. Poor bastard.
Yeah. He couldn't eat the ears, nose, and testicles because
he put the ears, nose, in a stew that he used. But he tried to eat the balls, but he couldn't because they were too tough. Poor bastard.
And if you're still here listening to this, man, bravo. Kudos to you. I think I probably turned this off while I was mixing it down
and then
40 minutes ago.
They did have three different... So they had court-appointed psychologists, and then they had outsourced psychologists come in.
Yeah.
There were three that were outsourced, and there were three that had something to do with the prison. And these all testified as part of his trial.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of them he ended up confiding in so much that he did eventually tell them about Gaffney, about
Billy.
Francis.
Oh, Francis, yeah.
And then he did confess to between 30 and 100 rapes.
Those were rapes, but for the molestations, he said it was probably closer to 400.
Yeah.
Motherfucker couldn't count, apparently.
Well, dude, he dropped his bibs. He's already naked. 100
rapes?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you go from 30 to 100?
You're in a basement. Lost
count of how often he moved.
Parents are off at work, and you're there painting, and kids are out playing, and you lure them down in the basement, and you rape one, and you do it again the next day. And he would just keep moving if stuff would happen. He would just constantly on the move as a painter. Once again, wearing his bibs with nothing underneath, so he could just drop a couple straps and be ready to rock. Put them back up and go. Fucking monster.
Yeah.
And then during his trial, he sat basically curled up with his hand like over his face,
making noises.
He didn't, he never said a word. He just made noises. He never acknowledged anything that was going on.
It was like the, when he got kicked out of one of the boarding houses that he was living in with two of his sons because he was sending letters to the lady that owned the place.
Yeah, he was slipping them under her door.
Yeah, and she kicked him out after they got so bad because she knew where they were coming from. Well, he got pissed off. So he left her a present. It was like a early day Upper Decker.
Yeah.
He went up to the attic and shit behind a door. And she was too, this was back in the day where she was too ashamed to say what the fuck it was that he had did. She was mm-hmm. like, he left some dirt. And they were like, what kind of dirt? Human dirt.
Human dirt.
You mean a number two?
Yeah.
She didn't even want to say number two. Human dirt.
And during all asshole. Of this, during all of this, so for the letters and for the couple of women and then his stepdaughter that they had testify against him, the judge made all of the women in the courthouse leave.
Mm-hmm. I don't fucking blame him.
Because he was a gentleman. And do you think he was leaving the shit there to piss her off, or do you think that was like a snack for later and he forgot it?
I don't think he did it to piss her off.
Six, one, half a dozen the other, Matt.
Yeah.
Anyway. 1935, Albert Fish is found guilty of the murder of Grace Budd and is sentenced to death. They didn't need the rest of them. They couldn't prove them. So it didn't fucking matter. He was basically admitting to the things he did to be like, oh, I'm crazy as shit, so you don't have to kill me. But they executed his fucking ass in the electric chair at Sing Sing.
We had a fish fry at Sing Sing.
In January 16th, 1936.
Nice.
Fish fry at Sing Sing. Perfect, Lindy. Well done.
I do have to say, though, to add to the disturbance, he was excited about being electrocuted.
Well, he claimed to be. I think that might have been more going on to his fucking being batshit, trying to get his batshit crazy case. Because I don't think he wanted to die. Because he would do bullshit like he was... like he was doing it for the Lord. Like the Lord told him, like Grace was going to be a whore if he didn't kill her. And he would kind of like put it up to being like Isaac. Like,
oh, that's one of the things he did in his trial too. He whispered to his attorney, tell them to look at, I don't have the proverb written scripture. Down.
I don't either.
Yeah, but like if God didn't want me to do this, he would have sent an angel to stop me.
That's what he was Abraham and Isaac is basically what he was doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
the thing that he wanted to do with Ed Budd, he wanted to take him out and cut his dick off. Now, I have read the Bible, and I don't remember that part being in there with the Abraham and Isaac story. I don't think God said, take him up to the mountain and cut off his monkey. That wasn't in there. I swear it wasn't in there.
And then, you know, you need to rub it around in some spices and herbs, and then you make a little sausage out of it and put it in a little wiener bun and
cook it low and slow, or it's going to be chewy.
That part.
Well, no,
he ate zippers.
And I don't know.
He liked
that's another one of those.
I figured with a more grown boy, he was going to keep it like he did the carrot stick and the
hot dog.
Yeah,
that could be because you would think an uncooked hot dog just floppy.
How's that? For the
how hot dog. You're just and getting that. That's just going right in there.
Barrett, when you stick it up my ass, stick it up my ass, stick it up my ass.
Well, but if you leave a hot dog out on the counter for like an hour, it gets that nasty.
Will it get hard eventually? Yeah. Or okay, because I was thinking it's like. What kind of gaping loose asshole? Well, he probably did anyway. But
what
I mean,
kind of weirdo leaves a fucking hot dog out on the fucking counter for an hour? That's what I want.
It brought up the hot dog and hallway situation for me. That's what I was thinking about.
What's wrong with
that? I don't know. You got to find something about it because when the cops found the count of nine tails that he had, they asked him what that was for. He said, "I whipped myself with it. Not that it's any of your goddamn business." Whipping yourself
ass.
Is fine, motherfucker. It's beating the kid to death with some bitch.
See,
whatever.
I get constipated quite a bit, and I
anyway
smack myself on the ass so I can, you know.
I can't wait to give this away. I cannot wait. I hope somebody wants this fucking thing.
Just burn it. Just fucking burn it.
I'm not even putting it on the bookshelf with my other books. I would have put the Ed Gein book up there, but I am not going to put this one up there. I never want to see this again. I never want to talk about this motherfucker again.
So if you want to come to Deranged, I guess you can email us with any stories that you might have at hmfppod@gmail.com, and we will gladly send you this horrible fucking book.
I kind of wish Todd was here. I know the episode would have been longer because there would have been way more pauses for like dry heaving things of that nature.
But you know, I had to delete so many parts of the last one just so I would not make people vomit when they listened to it.
Did you delete them?
I had to delete a bunch of the noises. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I started dry heaving myself just listening.
Yeah, because if you hear it, it kind of triggers.
Yeah. It's
like you're going to cry, and then I'm going to cry.
Bucket. Yeah, it was
gross. We're all
going
to cry.
Yeah.
Try being in the same. He's below me. and I am one of those people that will throw up if I hear you throwing up.
You're a sympathizing puker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I hear you go, I'm gone. I'm done. We're done. It's over. Lindy's. I'm next to you. We're vomiting.
Lindy, maybe you should just wrap yourself up in a sea salt cheesecloth, and then you won't vomit.
This was one of those episodes that could have been longer.
A lot longer.
I just couldn't do it. I regret saying, hey, I want to do that one. I probably should have just let Lindy do it. It would probably have been easier to swallow if she put it in your mouth than it was when I did. Yeah. She'd give you a spoonful of sugar. I was just like, he's eating shit.
You mean the lovely lady there that was eating candy the whole time you were talking about him making fucking stew out of little girls?
It doesn't quite affect me and Lindy as bad as it does the Todd, for sure.
I read this book. I knew what was coming. Yeah.
Well, I didn't on purpose.
Yeah, Albert. I mean, Albert was coming constantly.
Well, yes, he was. Yes, he was.
And I bet those was his noises. I bet while he was in court and they were reading the stuff that he'd wrote to him, I bet he's going, oh. Yeah, I bet his pants were fucking full.
All right. Stop. Just.
You'd probably throw him against the wall and then it'd break.
You're giving this much motherfucker way too much.
That's true. We gave him too much time. Fuck this guy.
Let's just be glad that there's not a school of fish like this. You know what I mean?
I don't know if you know this, but the band Fish actually got their name from.
They fucking probably did. Is that why they suck so bad?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Not knocking.
I can stomach them almost as much as him. So you know.
I could stomach them a lot more than him.
That's true. I was being a dick.
I just need more weed.
I was being a monkey. Sorry.
And I don't smoke weed.
I was going to wear my monkey costume today, and I thought that would kill me.
Why would I kill you for wearing a monkey costume?
Because of the references in the story to the monkeys.
To the monkey. He called the little boy's penises monkeys. Get a whip out his monkey. That,
in my head, I just think, Lindy needs more attention, apparently.
As soon as she said monkey costume, I thought about the... Damn it, what's a Bloodhound Gang?
It's a lot like that. Okay. It's a lot like that.
You thought that, and I thought Bare Naked Ladies. Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
And I had $1 million.
I wouldn't fucking do podcasts about Albert Fish. That's what I'd do with if I had $1 million. All right,
guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. No one asked for it. I just knew it was probably going to eventually come. So I was just like, called it early. And I was like, well, eventually we're doing it. And then it got around Halloween time. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I was like, no, I'm throwing up constantly. I tried to read one paragraph to my wife. And she's like, I don't want to fucking hear that shit. I was like, fair enough.
What's grosser than gross, man? Albert what? Fish in a barrel. What's grosser than that? Albert Fish in 257 barrels.
It would have been nice for him to be chopped up slowly while he was still living, but
yeah, he probably would like that shit too, though.
So, guys, don't go out this week and stick a bunch of needles underneath your fingernails or up into your taints or balls, and try not to, you know, kill anybody.
God. Please leave that to the professionals.
Don't forget the spank your monkey. So, all right. Yeah. We'll see you guys next Tuesday, man.
Yeah.
I'm Spar.
I'm Zach.
Lindy.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
It's evil. Don't touch it.
It's alive.
I like with you.
They're coming to get you.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?